Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a great time to study Word of God, to worship God. We are studying 1 Corinthians by Pastor Sammy. Sometimes we are going through the book of Jude. Today we study Jude. Let me remind you that the theme of this epistle is to contend, to fight for the sound doctrine. Because of false teachers, they came, they are with the believers. He wanted to write about our common salvation, but he wrote to fight the sound doctrine. He gives the characteristics of false teachers, their conduct. Verse 4 to 13, we have studied already. We are going to look at verse 14 and 15 today. In these verses, Jude teaches not much about false teachers, but much about Christ and his unique characteristics. The text before us speaks much about Christ, not just about false teachers. Brothers and sisters, we should remember the truth, that is, Jesus Christ is the judge. We know the truth. Jesus Christ is the Savior who saves sinner. At the same time, He is the judge of sinners. One day we will all stand before Him. Believers will stand before Him at Bema seat. Unbelievers, even false teachers, will stand before Him at final judgment. That is the thing we are going to see today. Verse 4 to 15. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 17 says, "For it is the time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" You know, Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once. After this comes judgment." Every person will stand before Christ one day, brothers and sisters. Christ is going to judge everybody. Jude presses the Christ is going to judge false teachers in our text. It is the reality. R.C. Sproul said, "The power of gospel is the word of God. Nobody needs a gospel if there is no judgment. If God is not a God of judgment, if there is no such thing as hell, what is the gospel?" That is the truth. We can see in the scripture many times, Jesus Christ is the judge of sinners. I will encourage you to open Jude chapter 1, verse 4, 14 and 15. Jude verse 14 and 15. "It was also about these men that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" We see this passage, this verse 14 and 15. It is clearly saying the theme of this passage, Christ, the perfect judge of apostates. Christ, the perfect judge of sinners, ungodly people. Because verse 14 says, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute the judgment." Here all refers to false teachers. Because it says, verse 14 says, "It was also about these men." These men refers to false teachers. As we studied last month, they are hidden reefs. They are dangerous influence. They can influence the people. We can see they are waterless clouds.
fruitless trees. Their useless ministry is evident. As we seen last time, then they are showing shameless lives. At the same time, their destiny is unstable. As we studied last time. So same, the prophecy against false teachers is connecting. Jude describes the coming of Lord Jesus Christ as Enoch prophesied. Enoch was a prophet, so he had limited temporary inspiration, but only this verse in the scripture. Jude is quoting this verse as true, brothers and sisters. The source of this information was inspired by Holy Spirit. Here Enoch used the past tense to press the future, to stress the certainty of the event. That is, the Lord will come. Even though he says Lord came, the idea in Greek, the Lord will come. He is going to come and judge. Let me tell you, the Lord, who is the Lord? The Lord is Christ himself. Many verses talk about Christ as the judge. John Gospel chapter 5 verse 22 and 23 says, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son even as they honor the Father." Chapter 5 of John verse 27 says, "He gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." God the Father gave authority to judge. Jesus Christ is the judge of false teachers. So based on these words, we can say he is the perfect judge. He is the perfect judge. Why will he come? He explains in verse 15, "To execute judgment upon all, to convict all ungodly sinners." If you see verse 15, ungodly, the word ungodly is repeated. Ungodly. So theme of this passage, we can clearly say, Christ the perfect judge of apostates. Three honorable characteristics of Christ as the perfect judge. First honorable characteristic of Christ as the perfect judge is, he is the pre-existing judge. Verse 14. It was also about these men. Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones." Here, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, does not necessarily imply that Enoch was literally the seventh generation descendant from Adam. It may mean simply that he is the seventh one listed in the line of Adam, if you see. At the same time, this shows he is different from Cain's son, Enoch. Cain was the father of Enoch. He is different from that Enoch. Brothers and sisters, many think that Jesus Christ was born before 2022 years back, but he was pre-existed before. One man, Samuel Taylor, he described himself as having once been. He believes that Jesus to be the real son of Joseph. Another person, German theologian, says, who taught Christ was not God but was created as the ideal and perfect man whose sinlessness constituted his divinity. Another person said, the pre-existence of Christ as not only irrational, but utterly meaningless. There are many false teachers. There are many people who believe that Jesus is not pre-existed one. But the word of God clearly says, he existed before. There are many people in India, they believe that Jesus born recently. He is not God anymore. Brothers and sisters, here Enoch said that he will come. He recognized the pre-existence of Christ before the flood. before the flood, he said. This gives great evidence for Christ's pre-existence. See, an amazing truth is Enoch knew the Lord. Christ existed before. 5 key biblical evidences of his pre-existence. Let me give 5 key biblical evidences of his pre-existence. First one, he existed before the John the Baptist. If you see John chapter 1 verse 30, it says, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher ranker than I, for he existed before me." Second key biblical proof, evidence we can see, he existed before Isaiah. When we see John chapter verse 12, 39 to 41 says, "For this reason they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them." Verse 41 says, "These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him." His glory refers to Christ's glory in this context. Isaiah saw Christ in his vision, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. When men see God in Old Testament, they see Jesus. They saw Jesus. That is the truth. The third biblical evidence, he existed before David. Not only Isaiah, not only John the Baptist. See, Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 to 46. Jesus asked Pharisees a question. Verse 42 says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "Then how does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet.'" Verse 45 says, "If David then calls Lord, how is he his son?" No one was able to answer him a word. That means the Lord Jesus Christ, he existed before David because he called. David called Lord. Not only he existed before David, he existed before Abraham. When we see John Gospel, chapter 8, verse 58 says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." The final evidence we can see, he existed before all creation. Not only these key people, he existed before all creation. John Gospel, chapter 1, verse 3. "All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." Brothers and sisters, Jude already spoke of the pre-existing judge. Verse 4, he says, Jude verse 4, he says, verse 5, he says, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. At the same time, verse 6, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment, for the great day, for angels. He mentions, verse 7, the same Lord exhibited Sodom and Gomorrah, an example of undergoing punishment. Same Lord judged these people. The same Lord is going to judge these false teachers. Same Lord going to judge these ungodly people. He is pre-existing judge, we can say clearly. Brothers and sisters, we must honor Jesus Christ in our life as pre-existing judge. So what is the application for us? But we must react like godly men when they meet pre-existing Christ. How they responded to pre-existing Christ? Humility. when John said he existed before, he has higher rancor than me. He humbled himself before Christ. At the same time, Abraham, when Jesus met Abraham before destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, when Abraham saw Jesus, Yahweh, he bowed down before him. Whoever has seen Jesus as pre-incarnate Christ, they bow down, they worship. Isaiah, what he said? He recognized his sinful nature. Woe to me. I am sinful man. Brothers and sisters, if you understand who Christ is, then you will have the humility. You will humble before himself. You will recognize your sinful nature. You won't be prideful, proud before God anytime. You cannot question God if you understand the pre-existing judge. Second honorable characteristic of Christ as the perfect judge is he is the powerful judge. He is the powerful judge. Verse 14, part B to verse 15. We can see that. Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all. See the key words and praises. The Lord, thousands of his holy one, to execute judgment. These are proving his great power when we observe these words. So here three evidences of his great power. The first evidence of his great power is his sovereignty. His sovereignty, verse 14. Because it says the Lord is the one who has power, authority. He is the one to whom people thinks belongs. He has the power of deciding. The owner, the master, we can say. He is the only master, sovereign. He is the Lord of every man, verse 14. Because Enoch said, the Lord, he recognized Jesus Christ is Lord. Even Jude recognized verse 1 and verse 25 in this epistle. Jesus Christ is the Lord. Can you see what he says? He says that, the Jude, a born servant of Jesus Christ, he says verse 25, to only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Jude's Lord. Vijay's Lord. Cornerstone Community Church Lord. He is the Lord. Sovereign. Enoch recognized that one. He is the sovereign. Why he is powerful judge? Because he is sovereign. He is sovereign, brothers and sisters. We know that he possessed of the power to determine what is suitable to Sabbath. You remember he said, Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, he says, for the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. He is the Lord of Sabbath, he is the one who has control of creation. He rebuked the wind and said to sea, hush, still. They became perfectly calm. Matthew chapter 4, verse 39. How the dog will submit to his master, her master. Sometimes dog will do gadbat. When new visitors comes, they will shout. When master says, silent, calm, then dog will become calm. That these creations are like dogs to master. They are submitting to the Lord. We can see the Lordship of Christ. He is the sovereign. That's why he has the power. He is powerful judge, brothers and sisters. We must think of ourselves as servants. If Jude think of himself as a born servant, if Paul think of himself as born servant, as Enoch think of himself as born servant, we must serve him. We must submit his authority. Our authority, our opinions, not final things. The Lord who is over us, we must obey him as the church. The second evidence of his great power is his glorious return. His glorious return. Verse 14 says, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. Here the Lord will come in association with his holy ones who are angels. These are not believers. It says, right, with many thousands of his holy ones. That means association. He has a close personal relationship with holy angels. See the word thousands, many thousands is a plural. The meaning of this word is very large number. Myriads, or we can say countless thousands, millions upon millions. Revelation chapter 5 verse 11, same word used in Revelation chapter 5 verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. The number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Can you see? Jesus Christ will come with myriads of myriads, millions of his angels. The Lord who is the judge will come associated with millions upon millions. See the phrase verse 14. His holy ones. His holy ones. That means these angels, millions upon millions, angels are belonging to Christ. He created them. We can see the power of the judge. He is not ordinary judge, brothers and sisters, but the powerful judge. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7 says, to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. When you see the picture, you can understand the glorious return of Christ. He will come as a glorious God, glorious judge. You may think that there are many false teachers. There are many sinful, wicked people. How he can judge? How he can manage? See, when you see the picture of how he is coming, you can understand he can judge. He is the perfect judge. Third evidence of his great power is his judgment. His judgment. Verse 15 says, to execute judgment upon all. The meaning of the word execute in Greek is to do something, bring about something, accomplish something. Here the Lord is coming to bring judgment or do judgment. Here judgment is talking about eternal hell. He's talking about eternal hell. Because he gave time, more time he gave to sinful people. He gave chance to all false teachers. But when he comes, he will execute judgment. He will throw them in the hell. We know Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 and 14 and 15. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Then verse 14 says, the death hates were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Verse 15 he says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says, his word, the present heavens, earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment, destruction of ungodly man. Brothers and sisters, 24 hours there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 13 verse 42. He will remove the grace for the apostates at his judgment. No salvation after death. Christ is merciful, graceful to his people all time. At the same time, brothers and sisters, he is wrathful towards false teachers and all ungodly men, ungodly women. His attributes cannot change. All time his attributes are presented in Christ. Here at this particular point, Jude reminds us that he will judge false teachers. See the phrase, upon all. Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all. The Lord comes. There is no bias, partiality in his judgment. All ungodly sinners, all ungodly false teachers will be equally judged by Christ. no bias in his judgment. Here, criminals may escape from the judgment of earthly judges because of they have money, they have popularity, they can give bribe. Please help me to escape from this judgment. You can do anything on the earth based on your wisdom, based on your strength on the earth. But no one can escape from this judge. This is the true, brothers and sisters. Even I want to preach about salvation of Christ for the sinners. But the word of God is telling me to preach this verse. Because we are going through verse by verse. I need to preach. He is going to judge ungodly sinners, brothers and sisters. Jude was not being ungrateful to the church by saying the judgment of Christ. Even I am not preaching this passage to frighten you. I am preaching this passage so that you may worship Christ more and more. When you understand Christ is going to judge apostates, ungodly people, you must think about yourself. You are also a sinner. I am also a sinner. God, Christ has to judge us. Christ has to do judgment upon us. But he saved us. When you think about his judgment, you think about you escaped from the judgment. Christ has done for you. He saved you. Whenever you read, Christ is going to judge, you worship Christ more and more because he saved you from his judgment. Brothers and sisters, we have seen two honorable characteristics of Christ as perfect judge. The third honorable characteristic of Christ as the perfect judge is the pure judge. Not only powerful judge, he is the pure judge. Verse 15, part B. It says, to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Here idea is Lord will come. Why? Two purposes. The one purpose is to execute the judgment. In his judgment, another purpose is to convict all. He is not only the powerful judge, also pure judge. Because in his judgment, he convicts them of their ungodliness. He never judges unrighteously, brothers and sisters. He is a pure, holy, righteous God. The meaning of the word convict in Greek, to expose, convince someone of something. Here the Lord will expose the ungodliness of false teachers. He will bring the false teachers, all unbelievers, to the point of recognizing wrongdoing. He will help sinners to recognize their sins, their deeds, their ungodliness. Ungodliness will be exposed. They recognize their wrongdoing. To convict is for punishment, not for repentance. As mentioned in John Gospel 16 verse 8, he, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That is for repentance. But this one is for punishment. They agree that Lord Jesus Christ is just and pure. They deserve the judgment. They won't like the judgment, but they accept that they deserve the judgment. If you understand the truth of this, you agree, you accept that he is the pure judge. Let me tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. If he is ungodly judge, he has no rights to judge ungodly people. He is pure judge, righteous judge. He has perfect right. He has full right to judge the ungodly sinners. That's why I said he is the pure judge. He likes godliness. He likes holiness, not impurity and ungodliness. That's why Revelation chapter 16 verse 7 says, and I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgment. True and righteous are your judgment. When Christ judges that is right and pure because he is pure judge. Two key sins that the pure judge convicts of. First key sin, ungodly deeds. Their ungodly deeds. Because verse 15 part B says, to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way. The meaning of this word, ungodly, in Greek is understood vertically as a lack of reverence for deity. A lack of reverence for God, that is called ungodly. Refers to a violation of human rights also. Here scripture says that the Lord will convict of all ungodly deeds. So the idea is here, the deeds that are product of distorted view of God, a lack of reverence for God and Christ. They are dishonoring God, not worshipping God. They are worshipping themselves. They are worshipping, false teachers are worshipping themselves. Money and luxuries, popularity, whatever it is, they are worshipping themselves. They won't worship God. That's why they do evil deeds. It is evident. This is the cause of their ungodliness. Let me tell you the examples of ungodly deeds of false teachers. For example, they twist the scripture in the lack of reverence for Christ. They lead an immoral life in the lack of reverence for Christ. They reveal the things which they do not understand in the lack of reverence for Christ. They deceive the people with their teaching, with their preaching, in the lack of reverence for Christ. They are self-centered people, pride people, greedy, because in the lack of reverence for Christ. If they have reverence for Christ, they won't do. They repent of their deeds. They won't repent. That's why he is going to convict their ungodly deeds. Brothers and sisters, your idea is to convict. Idea is the Lord will be going to put to end their ungodly actions particular time. We know Revelation chapter 20 verse 12 and 13 says, the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. We are thinking that people are thinking, see, I am doing my actions, nobody is watching. See here, Jesus Christ, he is writing each and every deeds. It says clearly, which were written in the books according to their deeds. Then verse 13, he says, they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Every one of them according to their deeds. Matthew chapter 16 verse 27 says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his glory, his Father with his angel will then repay every man according to his deeds. Many Christians worried about their unbelieving child death. Christ will not punish small babies because they died without Christ, believing Christ, but they don't do deeds like grown men and women. They are not able to understand. They are not able to obey God's commandment. They are small. Christ will save them because they don't have ungodly deeds. But they have nature of sin. They are also sinners. But Jesus Christ will give more grace to them. He died for them on the cross. That is the truth. He saves them also by grace only. He won't judge children, small babies. I am not telling which age he won't judge. Just I am giving, God knows, the babies he won't judge. That is the grace, that is the power of salvation, right? But don't worry about those things. If you have that kind of problem, if you have that kind of people you know, they are feeling bad. Because here Christ is going to judge according to their deeds. Brothers and sisters, if we are not careful, if we are not prayerful, then we may progress in ungodliness. Worshipping God, having reverence toward God, helps to live godly life by His Spirit. If you don't have the reverence for Christ, then you will do evil things. You will be like false teachers, unbelievers, if you are not careful. The second key sin that the pure judge convicts of, ungodly words, ungodly deeds, ungodly words, speeches. Verse 15 says, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Here the idea, the Lord will convict all harsh words. They spoke against him. Him refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the ungodly sinners. They have spoken against Lord Jesus. They are doing blasphemy against Christ. These false teachers, they often blasphemy against Christ. You know, the Pharisees or Jews are best example of denying Christ by their words. Even Jude says, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, Jude says, for certain person have crept in unnoticed, deny our only master and Lord. They deny by their words. They refuse. They don't have the intimacy relationship with Jesus Christ. You see some example how ungodly people speak against Christ. John Gospel chapter 8 verse 41 says, these people said to him, Jesus, we were not born of fornication. We were not born of fornication. That means they are telling you are born of fornication. You don't know who is your father. They deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They are speaking against Jesus Christ. Verse 48, chapter 8, John Gospel. Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan, have a demon? You possess a demon. Many times they told, he is doing miracles because of demon. He possessed demons. They are speaking against Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 7 verse 34 says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold a gluttonous man and drunkard, friend of tax collectors and sinners. Gluttonous man. See, you are a drunkard man. You are eating. You are friend of tax collectors. Many times, Jews, Pharisees, they spoke against Jesus Christ. Let me tell you practically, the Jehovah Witness who speaks against Christ believe that Christ is inferior to God the Father. The one guy said from Andhra Pradesh, he's living, he's preaching now also. He said that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit both are brothers. God the Father is father to them. They both are not equal to God the Father. Jesus, they are attacking the deity of Jesus Christ, saying that, preaching that he is not equal, he is not God, he is not pre-existed God. When people are speaking like that through their mouth, through their speech, they are speaking against him. There are many people says Jesus got married, he came to Himalayas, have meditations. You are laughing. There are many people, they say these are the true. Many people attack the sinlessness of Christ. They say that, for example, John Gospel chapter 8 verse 7, he said that, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. You remember the story? They say, see, even Jesus did not stone her because he is also a sinful man. They are twisting the scripture. The another twist is, earlier manuscript, this portion is not there. This portion is not there in the earlier manuscript. See, they are using the scripture and twisting. They are attacking the sinlessness of Christ. They are attacking the virgin birth of Christ. Whoever speaks like that, whoever says like that, preach like that, they are speaking against harsh things, against Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Matthew chapter 12 verse 36 says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. Not only false teachers, even we should be careful. God may want judges, he may won't send us into the hell, but you should stand before Bhima Seat. He will ask account. We must be careful what we are speaking, what we are speaking about people. Brothers and sisters, as the church, after listening about the pure judge who convicts of all deeds and words, this truth should not lead you to self-righteousness. That means, okay, Christ is going to judge based on their deeds and words. I will go, I will speak godly words, I will do godly things, then Christ will save me. That will become self-righteousness. That won't save you. But this truth will lead you to worship Him, to depending upon Him, to hold the grace of Christ all the time. Lord, you did not save me according to my deeds, according to my words, but you saved me according to your works, your greatness, your mercy, you saved me. Lord, help me so that I may not do those kind of deeds as these false teachers and believers are doing. We need mercy. We need grace. Depending upon Holy Spirit for the sanctification, which is also God's work in us. Do you believe? We cannot sanctify ourselves by our sin, but we will be sanctified by Christ, by His Spirit, praying that Christ may keep us to be holy and blameless before Him. Christ, the perfect judge of apostates, three honorable characteristics of Christ as the perfect judge. He is the pre-existing judge. He is the powerful judge. He is the pure judge. This judgment message, brothers and sisters, is an invitation for the sinners. This judgment message is an invitation for the believers to worship Him. Don't be hard to hold the grace of God. Believe in Jesus for your eternal life. R.C. Sproul said, God's grace is not infinite. God is infinite. God is gracious. We experience the grace of an infinite God. But grace is not infinite. God sets limits to His patience and forbearance. He warns us over and over again that someday the axe will fall and His judgment will be poured out. God may help us to worship Him because He saved us. God may save some of you who did not believe Jesus Christ at all. If you won't believe Jesus Christ, who gives His mercy, grace, like overflowing water, if you reject His grace, His mercy, one day you will stand before Him. Brother and sister, you should repent of your sins. You should accept the grace of Christ, the love of Christ. God may save you by His grace. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, come before You, Lord. Lord, thank You so much for saving us. Lord, we are not better than these ungodly men, false teachers. We are all same like. We are all sinners, Lord. By our nature, by our birth. Lord, we have done all ungodly deeds and words. We have spoken against You, Lord. Lord, You showed Your mercy in our life. God, You saved us through Your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to have the reverence towards You, Lord. The love towards You, what You have done for us. Lord, we pray that You save some of these false teachers, ungodly men, for Your glory, in Your will. Lord, strengthen this church. Lord, I am praying those who are not believed in Jesus, just coming and sitting, Lord, not believing You for eternal life. Lord, speak with those people, Lord. Save them, Lord, for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.